Cape Cod, and the islands. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Cape Pod Sportscast with yet another esteemed guest, the illustrious return of the Rich McClone. Rich, what's going on?
Don't call it a comeback.
Yeah.
I've been here for years, right? Rocking, I can't remember the rest. You know, a little LL Cool J for you?
Yeah.
I know you always love it when I spit bars for you.
I know. I was hoping you'd come a little bit more ready here. But you know, it works. We'll play with it on the fly.
Yeah, there you go. So, no, it's great to be back. And, you know, I tell you, Wes, it's winter and there's a lot going on. We got some basketball. We got hockey you and I are going to talk about today. We got, you know, Star Wars coming out.
Yes, like, absolutely.
I'm stoked. This is, and it's Christmas.
Right, it's what better time of the year?
And I had the best Secret Santa ever. So,
well, now you're just trying to butter me up here.
I'm pandering.
Yeah, you're not going to get any of those hard-hitting questions I had lined up earlier.
A little pandering, yeah. Wes was my Secret Santa, and let's just say that he knew who he was buying for.
Well, I went practical, and then I went fun. You know, so I got the toy lightsaber for some fun, batteries included in the set, and then some practicality with the hand warmers, which I got as a gift last year from my in-laws, and it's an invaluable gift.
Oh, and you know, some of these ranks, you know, Gallo, when you have to work down low,
right?
That place is the frigid up top. It's great, but
and then if you have any leftover, any carryover to the early spring season, the only disappointment is that the holiday party came before the end of the football year, when probably could have been used on Thanksgiving Day games.
Oh, absolutely. This year, at least, not as bad as last, but that was a rough day. It was a weird day because at points it was warm, and then it was. It went from
wind
like,
came in.
Yeah, it went from like 45 to 25 inside of 10 minutes. It was nutty. So, but yeah, I mean, this is your ship, so steer it. Where are we headed?
Right. So, if you want to go back and check out our archives here of the basketball preview with Cape Cod's very own shot doctor, Bob Catalini, please do so and do that. That came out last week. But to follow on the heels of the high school basketball preview, I thought of no one better to talk to preview the high school hockey landscape than yourself.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I do a little color and play-by-play for my Hockey Live, and nobody knows the rinks and enjoys being inside them as much as I do around these parts. It is a great time of year, and I'm really excited because I'll tell you, there are a couple of teams, you know, locally that are going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I cover two of them. You cover one, I think, that's going to be pretty good, and then there's a lot of question marks here and there, and you know, locally, you know, Barnstable looks like they're going to be pretty good. So it's going to be a fun season, I think.
Well, yeah, I think the place to start with this conversation is the newly formed Cape and Islands League. So gone are the, you know, perennial Super 8 contender Marshfield Rams.
Yeah.
They will be an independent and kind of playing a Patriot League schedule as they get reintroduced next year into the Patriot League. But in comes Barnstable. And then you have atop the Cape and Islands Atlantic large division, you have some familiar foes in Falmouth, Sandwich, DY, and Nauset. And then an addition of Martha's Vineyard, I believe, as well. So, you know, I think we all kind of look at Barnstable as that D1 team, along with Falmouth, who can kind of make that push for that division. But how do you see that league playing out?
Well, it's funny, you know, if there was a year where it would have been okay, well, I don't want to say okay, but where the other teams probably could have competed with Marshfield, it might have been this year. The Rams opened their season, I think it was last night, against Hanover. Now, granted, Hanover's a very good, you know,
not division. Your typical D3
team. No, they're not, but still, it is a D3 team. They played Hanover to a 3-3 tie.
Right.
So, you know, it's early. Who knows? You know, Coach Connolly up there is, you know, is really great. But I see Barnstable and Falmouth duking it out. You know, I don't think they're, you know, that's not going to catch anyone by surprise. However, it's, you know, Barnstable's been getting a lot of the preseason hype.
Right.
Yep. You know, I know My Hockey Live had them in the preseason rankings at number nine, which I really think is a little too high for them. They lost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they lost, you know, Jack Cordero Ben Jones on the back end. And so they've got a lot that
aren't
they.
There two Jacks on that team that they lost? It was Jack Cordero. Wasn't there another Jack that I'm mistaken?
Longueuil, maybe?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but they had a lot of senior talent last year. I really thought that Barnstable last year was primed to win the South, and they ended up losing in overtime, I think, to eventual champion Duxbury, if I'm not incorrect. But yeah, I really loved last year's Barnstable team. This year, I think they're going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I really, at the end of the day, though, I think that Falmouth is a team to beat in the, you know, in the, I almost call it the Atlantic Coast, the Cape and Islands.
It's Atlantic Division.
The Atlantic Division. Talon's got a lot of firepower.
Well, you look to that top line that we've talked about before. What Stone Devlin? Help me out here with some names.
Well, you got Stone Devlin, Nick Champagne, and then you bring in Eric Wainwright, a transfer from Zverian, and he may be, you know, he may be the best player on that line. He already has 3 goals and an assist. He had 2 goals last night. He's a dynamic player, and the thing I think that really has Coach Moore excited is he seems to have really bought in already. Mm-hmm. He blocked 6 shots last night. I mean, that if you're out there blocking shots as well, that means that, you know, you're there for your teammates,
right? Yeah,
and you're showing out. So yeah, the big question with Falmouth is, can the goaltending hold up over the course of the season? You know, last night North Wilson answered a lot of questions. He came out, stopped 18 and 19 against a very good Bridgewater Raynham team. 10 saves in the first period alone.
Wow, okay.
And, you know, he really put the team on his back early, and they ended up winning 3-1 at Bridgewater. Moore said it was the best Bridgewater team he's seen in years. So, if North can, you know, keep on his, you know, upward trajectory. You see what I did there?
I got you.
Yeah, if he can stay, you know, even all year, he doesn't have to be a 1.5 goals against guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to be under 3. This team can put up a lot of goals. Their second line, their third line, very deep. I really like Jake McKenzie. We haven't had a hat trick in the opener. Granted, it was against DY. DY looks down. Nauset looks like they're way down. They had 13 seniors graduate.
Right, and one of them was their goaltender, who kind of stood on his head last year.
Then, in addition, they lost 6 guys to juniors.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like taking an entire JV team, basically, right, and making it a varsity, which I think we saw their opener. They played Mashpee Monomoy to a 1-1 tie. You know, nothing against the Monarchs, but the Monarchs are, you know, historically a middle-of-the-road D3 program.
Who graduated their best player last year.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of their best players, right, you know. So, you know, they're in a rebuilding process, and for them to tie Nauset, you know, it tells me Mashpee's going to play hard, Mashpee Monomoy. Nauset's got a lot of work to do.
Yep.
A lot of work to do. The Vineyard's kind of the wild card.
Well, yeah, I view the Vineyard and Sandwich in that second tier. If you're looking within the division, the Atlantic Division of the Cayman Islands League, you have Barnstable and Falmouth 1 and 1A, you know, however you want to pick that. And then that second tier is that Martha's Vineyard Sandwich group with, I would say, DY Nauset kind of filling out that last year. Just from early on projections,
yeah,
you know, I got a chance to see both Martha's Vineyard and Sandwich in the opening round of the Gormley Cup this weekend.
Yeah.
And that was a hell of a game, to be honest with you.
Was that the 1-0 game?
Yeah, it was 1-0. It was scoreless until 1:38 when the Vineyard got the go-ahead goal. They ended up getting routed in the Gormley Cup Finals by Plymouth North. So I was a little you know, taken aback or tough to judge. I bet that Plymouth North team is pretty good, but when you're comparing goals and scores and everything, you know, I think Plymouth North beat Plymouth South to get to the finals 3-1, 4-1, something like that. And then really beat up on a Sandwich team in the consolation round.
Well, yeah, and with hockey, especially this time of year, you know, you get teams kind of, you know, figuring out what the roles of everybody is and who they are.
And that's a Sandwich team that graduated a lot of players, too.
Yeah, I mean, that Sandwich team, I think, you know, names escape me because I don't, you know, I haven't seen them play in person yet. But I do know the goalie looks like he's going to be okay.
Yeah, Carson Schemenauer. So yeah. He's a returning senior who saw a lot of time last year. He actually had 31 saves and a 5-3 win on the road against Taunton in their third game of the season this week.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Schemenauer last year, you know, he kind of was up and down. But when he was good, he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's the kind of guy who can, you know, steal you a couple of games. I think Sandwich is probably a tournament team. I think they're going to get in. They will struggle against the higher-end teams that they're going to play. But I think, you know, when they're playing D2 teams, you know, especially when they're at home at Gallo, I think they're going to be okay. I mean, they're probably going to be slightly above. I would say they're in that, you know, if they're playing 20, they're going to be somewhere around 22 to 24 points, I think, when it's all said and done.
Right, yeah.
I think they're in. The Falmouth and Barnstable, they're obviously in. My guess is the Vineyard is probably going to get in, too.
I think they'll get in as well. You know, that's a D3 team that was a tournament team last year. So I'm not sure what they're returning or what they graduated. But perennially, I think they usually trot out a playoff team.
Yeah, and I think that they actually play, you know, for where they are. I think they play a pretty good schedule, too. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid to go and, you know, I mean, they have to find games wherever they can find games.
Right.
So, but they have, you know, historically played a pretty good schedule. I think the Vineyard's probably going to get in. Everybody else, you know, the other ones, Nauset, DY, I think they're looking at really, really long, hard seasons. But the good thing about when you play those kinds of years, you know, you can improve, you can get yourself to where you need to be for the future. So those kids are going to gain valuable experience. But if you're a senior, it's a rough way to go out.
Right. Yeah. And just to real quick to finish up on Sandwich there, you know, they had one goal through two games, which was a little bit of a concern, you know, in the early goings, kind of weighing everything.
Sure.
But they exploded for four goals in the third period, three in a one-minute span, two separated by 11 seconds from one player, Junior Max Slicer. So, you know, that kind of came up big, and you hope that kind of carries over from that last period into this weekend's matchup, which is on the road in Raynham against Southeastern. That was the second-ranked team in the D2 South tournament.
Southeastern, you know, maybe doesn't play a difficult schedule, but they definitely know how to win games.
Well, yeah, and they beat Sandwich in come-from-behind fashion in the first round of the tournament after Sandwich beat, I believe it was Brookline, in the preliminary round. So they're a little bit of a revenge game factor for the Sandwich Blue Knights. Another team you mentioned kind of rebuilding earlier on when we were talking, I think that definitely applies to the Bourne Canalmen this year.
Yeah, Bourne.
14-5-1 last year, one of the top teams. You know, I think they're coming off a South sectional semifinal appearance against Ashland.
Yeah, and they've got to figure out how they're going to score goals because, what, 400-point scorers?
Yeah, the 400-point scorers are
gone.
That's
crazy. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of goals to replace.
You know, you look at that senior team last year, that core played as freshmen.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where that accumulation came from on top of them just being skilled players.
Yeah.
But this new group of upperclassmen didn't have that allotment of time to kind of learn on the fly, on the job. So it'll be interesting to see who kind of had taken the off season and prepared knowing that this is going to be their time to kind of take over the reins.
I think, you know, program-wide, Bourne is always pretty solid. I think they're going to be okay. South Coast, not one of the tougher leagues. I think just being in the South Coast, they should be able to compile enough victories to get themselves into the postseason. But losing, is it Danny Sheehy?
John
Sheehy. Losing Sheehy for the season, you know, was a broken wrist, I think.
Yeah, broken wrist in a scrimmage against Hanover.
That is a massive loss for them.
One of their top returning blue liners who plays on that top line, pairing with, I believe he's a junior, Owen Lapworth.
Yeah.
He's captain this year.
And I think, you know, those two kids were the two players I was most excited about coming back. Along with, is it McGuire?
Both. They're twins. So Connor McGuire, who was a forward, who realized the hole that was on the defense with the Sheehy injury, stepped back to the defensive line, and then Kyle McGuire, his twin brother, returning in net for the season.
Yeah, I mean, like Kyle, to me, showed at times last year that he can be that guy who can, you know, be the steady force in the net and make enough saves, and he, you know, he had a pretty good tournament run.
For sure.
You know, Sheehy, you know, was just their best defensive defenseman, and Lapworth, you know, is a great puck distributor. Think of him as kind of being in the mold of a Torrey Krug, you know.
But I think he's a better defensive player too. So he's not just an offensive player.
You're right. It's just when I think of the roles, to me, he's kind of like he's the one who starts the rush and he makes the. I mean, he made some passes in that postseason.
Oh, sure, definitely. He's a better offensive player of the two.
Sure,
but he's no slouch defensively.
Granted, but you know, was Sheehy gone? You know, are they going to have enough on the back end? That's the big question. And like I said, I think they got enough to get through that South Coast. It's, you know, when the rubber meets the road come, you know, the end of February when you're playing in your post, you know, your late season tournaments and your postseason tournament. You know, are those kids going to be able to hold up in a D3 that you and I know the first round or two may not always be that tough. But when you get to eight teams left, those were some of the best games we saw last year.
Yeah, and you're going to see them coming down from the Tri-Valley Conference and some of those better, you know, more battle-tested conferences up and around the Boston area.
Yeah, there's a lot of good hockey in D3.
Mike Benito will be back for the team. He was one of the team's leading scorers last year, if you could imagine.
Liked Benito a lot.
Yes, he's a good two-way player for them. Andrew Ariagno. Is another senior who's going to see more time. He's a big body, kind of like a power forward type. He's not afraid to throw his weight around, skates really well.
Name I could never pronounce on the air.
Yeah, Oregano, right? Is that what Jake Levin
Jake Oregano, yeah.
Which actually makes complete sense. Like, I never read it that way, but I can read how someone would read it that way. But yes, I should see his scoring step up a little bit more as well. And then it'll be plenty of opportunities for other guys to make a case. You mentioned the South Coast Conference being, not the stiffest of competition in for hockey-wise. One team I think that could give them trouble is the Wareham Carver team. Saw them open up against Upper Cape Tech over the weekend, and it was a 10-4 final.
Yeah, Wareham can play a lot of firehouse
they
hockey.
Have a lot of returning players. They have a lot of size. Now, what caused, maybe pause for some concern, cause for concern, whatever the phrase is, they lost to DY.
Yeah, and that's...
So to come out 10-4, is that a matter of an Upper Cape team that also graduated two of its three 100-point scorers off of a lot of firepower team? Maybe they are regressing a little bit this year and coming back more to the mean? Or is Wareham a little bit of a fraud and just beat up and caught fire in one game? Do you hear what I mean? And again, it's early. Fraud is a strong word.
It is early. I do think that the Wareham team tends to be a bit of a front-running team. Like, when things are going well.
They've never been successful.
Even in games, the games they won last year were a lot like that. They have they have some speed up front. They do have a couple of kids who can finish, but they don't have depth. So if you've got the type of team that's got two or three really strong lines that can grind them down, they're going to have trouble. You know, if you're one line based and you're just matching ones, you could run into trouble against them. But if you have that second and third line that can skate, they don't even need to be able to score. But if they can skate, if they can check, they can defend, then, you know, you get a chance to take care of them. Upper Cape, we don't really know a lot about them yet because they only played that one game. You know, maybe it could have been an anomaly. We're going to learn a lot about them over the next couple of days. They play today, they play tomorrow, and I think they play Mashpee Monomoy on Monday morning.
Before New Year's Eve, I think. Yes, yeah, so before Christmas, before New Year's Eve.
I think
Eve,
it was like the Monday before Christmas, like 11:30. I saw that on my schedule, and I said, all right, I'm going to that one.
It'll be interesting. They have a senior goaltender in Will Hanley who was pulled late in the third period there. But he's been pretty good for them throughout. One of their 100-point scorers is back this year, and senior Kevin Flynn. He's a senior captain.
Yep.
Colin Souza on the defensive end, who you're very well familiar with, and a couple other players. I think what got to that Upper Cape game in their season opener, a lot of kids from Wareham go to Upper Cape and play on that Upper Cape team. I think there was a little bit of a chippiness. There was a lot of power plays, a lot of penalties in that game. I think one kid was actually ejected from the Upper Cape side or maybe was asked to go to the locker room a little bit early by his own team. I'm not sure exactly about the parameters of that. But I think emotions ran a little bit high that game and got the better of them. So maybe against a team that maybe they're not as familiar with or don't have as much ties with, they play a little bit more even-keeled.
And didn't that game get away from that? It was not so out of hand after two periods.
The third period, it was five goals in the third period. Yeah, 5-3 after two.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, they gave up two shorthanded goals. Two kids from Wareham had hat tricks.
Yeah.
One got it in the third period. You know, so you could kind of see things, unraveling.
Unravel is the right word there. Right. Yeah. It's, with three games in 4 days, that's a lot of hockey. But I think by New Year's, we'll have an idea of what Upper Cape is and what their potential is. But, you know, one game, you know, really it was that one horrible period. I don't think we can take too much out of that. I think, let's wait and see with the Rams.
Right. And my biggest takeaway was the Wareham Carver size. Yeah, a lot of big kids on that team. A lot of big kids. And they're not afraid to throw their weight around. At least, from that one game that I saw against Upper Cape.
But like you said, you know, when you lose to DY, DY is great.
But that's a Division II team that you would not face in the playoffs, but that is... in your division, if you're Wareham Carver.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
You know, Upper Cape's the D3 team.
And I would say that DY, at best in D2, you know, is average. And I saw them lose 7-1 to Falmouth.
Right, yeah.
And granted, now Falmouth, better program, but the offense, against a team that can really skate was non-existent.
Right, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, I really look forward to that game against Bourne when Wareham and Carver plays them.
Yeah, I think I would take the Canalman, but we'll...
Yeah, I mean, going off past history and pedigree, which is, you know, a lot of things early on in this season, all you really can do.
Yeah.
You know, you give the nod to the team that's done it on a yearly basis more regularly.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why I think you kind of see statewide some of the teams that maybe come in with some question marks get ranked highly because it's going off past reputation, which they've earned.
Yeah, exactly. And now we've only played like 2 weeks, and if you're looking at those same rankings,
right,
there's a lot of juggling going on. Yeah, because people are starting to see, oh, well, maybe they're not as good as they were.
Mm-hmm.
So it is fun though to see where teams are, and you know, who are the big risers, who's fallen back, you know,
right, who put in that work in the offseason.
Yeah, but it's also the sample size being is so small. Like, you know, coming back to that Marshfield-Hanover game last night.
Right.
You know, Hanover, I think, already had a game under their belts, and, you know, Marshfield hadn't played yet.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, we just don't know. You know, there's a lot we don't know. But by New Year's, we start to know.
And if I could be mistaken, but I thought Marshfield came out of the gate slow last year and still got to the Super 8 play-in.
I don't think they set the world on fire.
I think they came on strong late in the season.
And their typical MO is that they get better as the year goes on.
Right.
Because, you know, when you're well coached, that's what happens. And, you know, Dan Conley is one of the best. You know,
sure.
He really knows what he's doing up there. And, you know, like you said, annually, you know, we see that from Marshfield. That when they're not in the Super 8 mix, we're surprised.
Right.
So... yeah, I wouldn't put too much into that tie yet.
Last question on the boys' side of things before shifting to the girls' game. Is Barnstable too big to be in the Cape and Islands League?
You know, it's... I come back to, what do we do with them?
Right.
You know, it's...
because regionally, this is the fit.
Regionally...
size,
it's
not even close.
But the problem... well, first of all, they have so many historical rivalries in this league.
Sure.
You know... you know, the Falmouth thing, it goes without saying. You know, you can't say Falmouth without Barnstable.
But you can still schedule games
sure.
with that. And especially, like, I've heard that they'd probably be the best fit with the Southeastern League, with the New Bedford, Sturfies, BRs, Brocktons of the world.
Well, they used to be in the old colony, and then you know,
right,
that,
yeah,
couldn't,
that, yeah.
that fell apart. Leagues in the state are so hard to figure out because the sizes are... so all over the place. I mean, ideally, yes, they probably should be somewhere else. But I don't know what you do with them unless you take them, you take Marshfield, you take, I don't know, maybe Hingham, you know, some of the
right.
power schools and find a way to, you know, marry them. Otherwise, I really don't know what you do with them. I mean, Brockton, you know, is a you know, obviously bigger than Barnstable.
But not a hockey
yeah,
program.
Yeah, but they're hockey. Yeah,
yeah,
and with, you know, from sport to sport, you know, things are so different. So, yes, Barnstable should dominate in football, right? Hockey, they are going to always probably be one of the tops. And, you know, I don't even know if gymnastics and volleyball. Well, volleyball.
Volleyball, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're always going to be toward the top there. But then you look, you know, there's other sports where towns dominate other stuff. Who's going to beat Nauset in soccer?
Right.
You know, Falmouth is always going to be in the mix in like boys basketball, even though they're down this year. I think boys basketball, that's the one league where you can take all you know the teams in that league.
Yeah, because you need really seven players who can operate you know, functionally, really.
You know, like I think the Clippers are going to be down this year probably, but we saw last night against the Vineyard
mm-hmm.
or 2 days ago, they're going to be in the mix. You know, I mean, they've got a good, they have a great coach and they play hard, so you know, they're going to be in the mix. But, you know, you look at all these different sports, and somebody is going to dominate pretty much everywhere just based on who they are and where they're from. Barnstable has an advantage over everyone based on size. Someday they may figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the new athletic department is better than the old athletic department. But I still haven't seen that, you know, they have their stuff all the way together.
Right.
You know, and it's, what if they ever do figure it out, then, you know, it's over. They'll win everything. But... I don't see that day coming anytime soon.
Well, yeah, and you look at school choice and things like that, too. That kind of spreads out.
Yeah, and it, you know, wealth, and it, so to speak. Exactly. I mean, because a lot of kids, like, in that Barnstable DY area, if you are good at soccer,
yeah,
you end up at Nauset.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Mashpee lost their best player to Nauset this year. You know, it's just kind of, it's, the like you said, the school choice, it really puts a fly in the ointment, and it changes things up, and, you know, I had heard that there were a couple of kids from Bourne High who wanted to go play hockey at Falmouth this year, but they couldn't get it cleared to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they had, you know, Bourne would be weaker and, you know, the rich get richer, you know, and it's happening across the state. You know, people go where they want to go. There's a reason we hear commercials on the radio stations for high schools.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Moving over to the girls' side of things here. Let's start again in the Cape and Islands League, right?
That's our main league.
Good place to start here. Much more of a change up this year too, because you have a lot of the schools from the Southeastern Massachusetts Girls Hockey League leaving that to go form the Cape and Islands League, which was non-existent last year.
Yeah, and
for girls hockey at least.
And it's going to be interesting. I mean, I really don't know who to consider the favorite.
So you have Barnstable, who won the SMG AHL last year. But it's a younger team. They graduated a lot of players, but they brought up, from what I understand, some good young, talented players to replace them. You have the Cape Cod Furies, which is Nauset, Monomoy, Cape Tech in there. You have DY in there as well, who had coming off a great season, but they lost the McGaffigan Twins to the prep school circuit. You have a young Falmouth Clippers team, and you have a very young Sandwich Blue Knights team too, which I think should be only continued. I wouldn't say Falmouth team is really on the come up. They were in the postseason play last year, but I think those two teams, Sandwich and Falmouth specifically, should make a good step up this season.
Yeah, I think, you know, those, in my eyes, Falmouth and Sandwich are going to be battling for the league title.
Mm-hmm.
Barnstable has a lot of potential. They're not quite ready for prime time yet. Falmouth, seems like everyone on that team is either a sophomore or a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
But they all played as eighth graders.
Right.
And you'd be hard-pressed to find forwards anywhere in the league that are better than Megazzotto and Ryan McDonald and Sam McKenzie. They went over to the island and opened with a 3-0 win. McKenzie, who had 20 last year, gets 2. McDonald had a dozen mm-hmm. goals last year. She got the other one. So they're picking up right where they left off. Lucy Armour showed us in the playoffs last year that she can be the, you know, number one defense. They've got a couple of really strong defenders. Senior Kate Brody is one of the toughest kids I've ever known, you know, who plays defense, you know, on the girls' side. And then Abby McDonald's really good. I think they have all the pieces. Are they ready to make that next step?
Right.
You know, they won a tournament game last year. Ended up losing, actually won 2 tournament games last year. Won the prelim, won the first round, then they ran into a buzzsaw in, I believe it was Notre Dame of Hingham. So, how are they going to do against those bigger programs? Mm-hmm. Because they are still really young. I really think the Clippers' time starts next year. I think this is the warm-up act. You know, mm-hmm. this is their 45 minutes set. They're not ready for the 2 hours with 2 encores.
Right. Okay. I like that. A little musical reference there.
Yeah. So right. I think that, you know, this is going to be a good year for them. I really think if that core stays together, you know, the really big thing, I didn't even mention Katie Shanahan, another one, you know, they really have an opportunity to be great down the road.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're going to be good. They could be very good, but it's the future. Sandwich, I think they're similar. I don't think they're quite as good. I think they're just a notch below, but they've got a really good goaltender and they got a couple of strong skaters. I think Sandwich and Falmouth are going to be battling. They'll probably play the 2 games they play will probably each finish 2-1.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and I think where I kind of see Sandwich after your analysis of Falmouth is that this is Sandwich's year to make their run in the tournament. Have a core of players who have skated since 8th grade that are now juniors and seniors. So they're in that upperclassman range.
Yep.
Their top line of Rachel Brooks, Maura McIver, and Kylie Holt are one of the better lines you're going to see in the area for girls hockey. Sophia Visigulo, the goalie that you mentioned, really had a tough start of the year. She came down with mono last year.
That's
and
right.
They went 1-7 to start the season and had to pull Sarah Curry, who was a standout on the field hockey team, but really a forward for the girls' hockey team, threw her in net early on, just kind of cold, you know, off the street sort of thing. And she did an admirable job, but they caught fire towards the end of the season, needed a win against Bishop Stang to get into the postseason and qualify, ended up in a 4-4 tie. You know, so they fell 1 point shy of getting in the postseason. A lot of good returning players for them.
Here's what I really like about Sandwiches. Their schedule sets up for them to get off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they lose that tough one to Canton to start.
And that's you're going on the road to Canton, which is typically a good team. So you lose 4-0, but they bounce right back with a 4-0 win on the road against Pembroke. Yeah,
who's, again, usually a pretty good program. And then, you know, Cape Cod Furies might be good.
Mm-hmm.
I know they won last night. Yeah, they beat Plymouth last night 3-2. To me, that was a pretty big win for them because Plymouth typically is a pretty decent team. I think that, Sandwich, though, getting back to that schedule, you know, if you can beat Cape Cod, then you got BMW. I think that's a team you should be better than. I know you share a rink with.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, they don't share a rink with them anymore.
Oh, that's right. We'll
get into that a little later.
Yeah. Then, you know, they have the championship game of that Christmas tournament.
Yep, the Judy Gormley Cup.
You know, January 1st, Barnstable.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big game for them. If they can win that one, you know, because they don't see Falmouth until January 18th,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is a real good chance for the Lady Knights to pile up a lot of victories early, you know, and put themselves in position not only to be in the tournament, but to have a good seed in the tournament,
right.
you know, to make sure, I mean, they're going to be playing home games. Actually, no, girls, they go on the road. You know, they don't just play that centralized location.
Right, because I think it's a statewide tournament.
They're all over the place. So, get yourself some home games, you know, get mm-hmm. those kids out to Gallo, you know, play at home. I like the way their schedule sets up. And
If they can stay healthy, you know, I know another player started the season on mononucleosis, and another, I believe, broke her elbow.
A friend of Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not hanging around Sam Darnold there. That's bad luck right there. Seeing ghosts and black cats and all that stuff. But anyway, so, you know, if they can stay healthy, I think, you know, they've had to replace their lone senior who graduated last year, Ankari Gould, who was a, you know, top line, blue line defender who was on the ice, all, you know,
non-stop.
Probably too much, to be honest with you.
And we have a friend who thinks he was.
Right, yeah. So, you know, they have to replace that. And obviously the injuries that came, those were on the defensive side of things. So they're going to be a little thin and a little bit young in the early portions on their defensive line.
Yeah, I really think that when the two games, Falmouth and Sandwich, play, January 18th and then February 12th,
mm-hmm.
those are pretty much, I think, going to be the games that determine who wins the initial Atlantic Coast League.
You know, and I'm not ready to discount Barnstable just yet. So my theory is they opened the season with a 3-0 win against the old Rochester born Mashpee Upper Cape Aponequit Bulldogs open the season.
Well,
and that's a team that has historically done awful against Barnstable.
Yeah, so Barnstable beat up on the Furies in their first game,
mm-hmm.
5-1, and then, you know, they did beat BMW 3-0.
Well, you gotta be careful with the BMW now. Just
or whatever, yeah. or whatever we're calling them, the mm-hmm. old Rochester BMW, BMUA,
Buma,
LMNOP, and then, but Barnstable lost at home to Westwood yesterday,
mm-hmm.
so they're sitting at 2-1. You're right; we can't write them off, but everything that I'm hearing is that they are very much a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Again, until we actually put eyes on these teams.
Right. And where I put stock in Barnstable is that Old Rochester returns their senior co-captain goalie, Meg Nolan, who is one of the premier goalies in the South Coast or Southeastern Massachusetts. So I put some stock in that. And despite graduating their top two scorers, there were 3 or 4 players returning to this team with at least 10 or more points. Including Bourne's Julia Lissier, ORR's Aaron Craig, ORR's Carly Drew, a couple other players as well. So I believe there's an Avery Hathaway on Bourne, Amanda Orchuk from Bourne that's going to be there as well, bless you. I think there's a lot of firepower on this team as they adjust to a new system and a new head coach and Ted Drew.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how that all comes together. I mean, talk about a culture change. You know, you're so used to all those years being at Gallo. Everybody's mm-hmm. everybody comes there. Now you got to go out there.
Well, yeah, Tabor Academy.
You know, so you got, what, One kid from Mashpee, is that right?
One kid from Mashpee, one kid from Upper Cape, one kid from Opponequit.
And then...
Which Opponequit and Upper Cape were like Thanksgiving last minute additions yeah. to the program.
And then how many kids from Bourne?
Like more than five, less than 10, yeah, somewhere around so there.
It's a very much an old Rochester, you know, sure. heavy program, which is, you know, hey, that's fine. I understand why they wanted to take over, you know, leadership of the co-op.
Well, and that's typically how it works, sure. too.
But, yeah, it is going to be a huge culture change because, like you said, new coach.
Right.
You know, new teammates. In a, you know, it's just, it's different. It's not, there's no carryover, you know. It's mm-hmm. like starting anew. So
I mean, down to the mascot and the jersey. So, you know, that's.
Yeah, I haven't seen the jersey. What are the, these?
It's, from what I've seen in photos so far, I've been to one game, which was a scrimmage. And yeah. it just said old Rochester Hockey sure. in red and white. But their jerseys look a little different. But again, it seems like it's just old Rochester, red and white. Now, if you go to other schools that have the co-ops, like the Furies, for example, I believe all yeah. the mascots or yeah. logos are kind of represented in some way, shape, or form. I think even the Southeastern boys team, which is like four or five schools, I yeah. think. You know, some of them regional schools. That yeah. It's like West Bridgewater, Bristol, Plymouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their patches are on, you know, the uniforms and the sweaters and everything, too. So... you know, obviously funding is always an issue, especially when you talk about, you know, a little bit of a younger sport like girls hockey is. So maybe that has something to do with it.
Something tells me
typically that program was funded by parents and boosters, mostly more so than the school system.
I have a feeling that as this thing moves along, that there'll be a split at some point.
Oh, I think it's going to have to. Old Rochester's just going to become too big. It's a big school, regional yeah. school as it is.
Yeah.
Who has a very successful athletic program across the board. They're continually bringing in, you know, athletes and strong student athletes there. So, yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, so the thing is will there be enough, you know, what like you said, there's probably seven or eight born kids, mm-hmm. one from Upper Cape, one from Mashpee.
But and on the point of Upper Cape, and I think it's a huge advantage having two schools within a mile of each other
yeah.
with a hockey rink in between, you know, so I think that's a huge advantage. But from the Upper Cape standpoint, getting hockey in that program is going to, I think, do wonders for potential hockey players who want to go and learn the trade school. You
sure.
know, they're sprouting up new campuses, new buildings on campus every day. There's a new veterinarian clinic that's getting put in there. So, you know, if you want to be a veterinarian and play hockey, they have a brand new wellness center there. So I think it's actually an awesome recruiting tool that maybe you can poach, maybe a bad term here, but some of the talent from Falmouth or some of the talent from Wareham.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to happen. It's, you know.
So I see that relationship working pretty well if it were to be Bourne and Upper Cape splitting off into their own and then having like a Mashpee or someone kind of fill in the pieces.
I've had plenty of conversations over in Falmouth where they don't feel like they're losing stars to Upper Cape, but, you know, on the boys' side.
Mm-hmm.
But what they are losing is a lot of depth.
Yeah, you quality
know,
players.
Yeah, they're losing kids who would certainly, you know, fill out the roster and make them better overall.
I'm not sure how much it translates from, you know, the level of D3 that Upper Cape plays to the D1 level of Falmouth, but, I mean, look no further than last year. Josh Winiarski, their star, is a Falmouth kid last year.
Yeah, and I don't think...
In lacrosse and in basketball.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, I don't think Winiarski's a 100-point guy.
No, but he's a talented D1 goal level, scorer.
But, yeah, but I think, you know, he would have been, you know... A second line, maybe a first line winger, you know, he might, or a second liner, but he would have put the puck away.
Right.
And like we said, depth. You know, you got a kid who can skate, who can put the puck away, who can, you know, do a lot of things. That's going to help. And that translates at any school. You know,
right.
You know, talent is talent, no matter where you are.
Yeah, if you can score.
Yeah, then it's hard to score.
Right. Yeah, you know? Yeah. So I think, kind of circling back to my point, Upper Cape, I think that's a good position to be in and for Upper Cape to get in early. On a co-op like this,
sure.
You know, it kind of see an opening when at the time that they did. I think that works out very well because even on a sport, I'm not sure how much it translates from sport to sport. But Upper Cape joined the Sandwich wrestling co-op last year.
Yep.
And had three players. They had four players try out. Three stayed on for the season.
Yep.
This year, six players tried out. Five stayed on for the season. So, you know, it's automatically, you know, kind of almost 50% increase.
It's growing. Yeah. I mean, you see right there. Now we'll see what, you know, how that translates to next year.
Right.
And especially when you have they have a pretty good football program, and football and wrestling tend to go hand in hand.
And the athletic director used to be the coach of Stone Wrestling and was a wrestler at Stone High School as well, Ben Rabinovich. So he definitely has, you know, an agenda to push if he wants kids to go for the wrestling program.
There you go. So, it's all good things in that. So we touched on Sandwich. We touched on Falmouth. Yeah. Whatever this old Rochester Sandwich BM,
the co-op. Those five schools.
That conglomeration. Are we missing anyone on the girls' side?
No, I think that just about does it. And this is brings us to a new portion of the podcast of the show that I like to do. It's called Five Questions That Have Nothing to Do with Sports.
I'm psyched. Let's go.
So you don't receive these questions beforehand.
Oftentimes, no, I had no idea.
I don't even know what I'm going to ask beforehand. So this is kind of off the cusp. Lightning round action.
Okay.
You ready? Okay. So, the final installment of the Star Wars series, Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, hits theaters tonight, Thursday.
Oh, is that happening?
Yes, it is. What is the one thing you want answered most? Now, this can be from the recent trilogy. It can be of the series as a whole, the 9 movies as a whole.
That is a great question.
Because, there's a lot of speculation that they'll be bringing back a lot of the original characters from the original trilogy, and where it is just kind of a wrap-up of the whole story.
I think, off the top of my head, the one question that I really feel like needs addressing is the whole thing surrounding Rey's parentage, or where she comes from.
Okay.
I really don't feel like... I think there's more to it than, her... parents were filthy junk traders.
Sure.
There's got to be more. I also want to, and I'm sure it will be answered, the title of this movie seems backwards.
Right.
It's the end of the Skywalker saga, but it's called The Rise of Skywalker. I have two ideas of what that could mean. One, I think it could mean that Ben Solo... takes on the light side and, embraces being a Skywalker and basically saves the day.
Okay.
My second one is that at the end of The Last Jedi, or in the beginning of The Last Jedi, actually, he said, the Jedi must die. But Force users are going to go on. So now I'm thinking maybe going forward, Force users...
Would be referred to as Skywalkers.
Okay. That's
I like that, actually. I like that. And so that seems kind of original, too. I feel like I haven't heard that anywhere.
That was the first thing that, when I first heard the title, that's kind of where I thought it would go. And I've been giving it a lot of thought. This has been a daily conversation my son and I have had, over the last 2 weeks, trying to figure out where this movie's going.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully some of those get answered and then some when you go see it tonight.
We will be going tonight, somewhere in Hyannis.
Very nice. Well, there's only one theater in Hyannis.
But at some point, sometime.
Going to someone's house and watching. I got you.
At some time in Hyannis.
I'm not sure if you know this, Rich, Christmas is right around the corner.
It is.
What is the best gift you have ever received? Childhood, adulthood, teenage Rich?
All right, so two come to mind. When I was young, like 8 or 9, I got the full-size Millennium Falcon.
Oh, okay.
Now,
when you say full size, you can sit in it or like...
No, like the one...
The action figures
can fit. Yeah, the figures fit in it. I mean, it's probably like 3 or 4 feet long. But I spent so many hours playing with that. Mm-hmm. It was like the coolest thing ever. I mean, I had the X-Wing, I had the TIE Fighter, but the Millennium Falcon...
I mean, that's it. To this day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it had the game table, and it had the hidden compartments, and the cockpit, and the landing gear went up and down. It was the greatest toy I ever had. I loved that thing. And the other gift that stands out, I was 16, I still have it to this day, and I still will break it out to wear every now and then. My parents got me a Boston Bruins black road jersey, because remember, they used to wear darts on the road.
Mm-hmm.
A black Bruins road jersey with my name and number stitched on the back.
What's the number?
16, because it was the number I wore in baseball.
Okay, yeah.
And I just, you know, I've always loved the Bruins. You know, that's been, I've always loved hockey. And hockey jerseys were, to me, they were so cool. And they got me one. It's starting to come apart a little bit at the shoulders. Sure. So I don't wear it all the time. But every now and then for a big game, I break it up.
Well, you know, and the good thing about football jerseys and hockey jerseys is that, you know, you can really grow into them through the years. You know, it's not like in a basketball jersey that's going to get a little tight or something like that.
It was way too big for me.
It's supposed to be big for you.
Yeah, at 16, it was way too big for me. But now, you know, 30 years later, you know, it still fits.
Yeah, and you throw it on over a hoodie or something, then you're warm. You're good.
It's the best. And, you know, my mom and dad hit a home run with that. And it wasn't cheap. I mean, you know.
Sure, yeah.
It's got the real stitch. It was the good stuff. It wasn't like the iron-on.
Right.
So, that was, I'm sure I've gotten other great gifts, but those are the two that really stand out.
All right, that's good stuff right there. I like that. Okay. Let's see here. How do you feel? You're on the road regularly. You drive an Uber, you know, when you're not wearing your reporter hat and you're driving around from rink to rink.
Sure.
Would you rather drive in a rainstorm or a snowstorm?
Oh, rainstorm any day of the week.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Harder to see, I think. But I feel like I have more control of the car in the rain.
Okay.
You know, puddles can be misleading. You see one and you're like, that's not too bad. And it can be really deep.
Sure, right, yeah.
But you don't hear of people getting into, like, accidents out of left field in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually the accidents that happen in the rain are because people are driving, like, a-holes.
Hydroplaning.
Yeah. I mean, they're going too fast and, you know, they're not driving under control.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive under control in the rain, I think that you're 99% of the time you're going to be fine. In the snow, you can do everything right, and the car can still start to go sideways on you.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have the right tires, you know.
Hit a patch of ice. Yeah. It doesn't matter what time.
I mean, we saw what happened to those kids over, you know, the Bostwick boys. That was, you know, that's tragic. And they hit some black ice, you know. Now, granted, you know, when Owen and James got in their accident, it was, you know, it wasn't snowing. But they hit black ice. You know, they were driving too fast. You know, I think that the police report said that. But still, they hit the ice, and it screwed everything up. So, yeah, I would much rather deal with rain than snow.
So, I'm on the opposite side of this with you. I think all your points are valid, but I have a tough time in my advancing age picking up the lines on the road in the rainstorm.
Yeah, but they're covered by snow.
Well, so my thought on snow is that I usually find people are on the road less when it's snowing out.
And you can't follow someone's tracks. If it's anticipated,
you can follow tracks on it. So I almost feel like I have more leeway to maybe, like, drive in the middle of the road. Because there's not going to be as much people over on the road.
Yeah.
Or in the middle between two lanes on the highway or something because it's so desolate.
I feel like I'm a decent snow driver, but I just, I think one, especially, you know, the young kids who are listening, if it's snowing, whatever you think you should be driving, back it down at least 10 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. I drive slow for, you know, in both scenarios
But
I would take snow over any day. It feels like a trip to me. It feels like kind of fun. I don't know why.
I will say the one thing with snow that I love is if you're going just fast enough, it does feel like you're going through hyperspace.
Yeah. Oh, see, there we go. Always come back to Star Wars. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it does have that kind of feeling.
Okay, so we're on question number 4 here. Let's see. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and I believe on one of the sports talk radio stations, they had on higher up from the MGM Encore Casino in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And they anticipate sports gambling to be legal, hopefully, by the end of the summer.
In Massachusetts.
So, and to the point where, by the end of the summer, you can actually go and place a bet. Not that the law passed, but that you can actually go anywhere within the state, mobily bet, you know, bet in person at whatever casino of your choice.
Cool.
Would you gamble on day one?
I don't know if I would on day one. It depends. I'll tell you what scenario I would.
Like, you download the app on your phone, you don't have to go and all that stuff, yeah?
If that includes online poker being legalized again.
Oh, see, now, I don't know how that works, if there would just be sports gambling or if it would be...
Because for me, that was, like, you know, they called it Black Friday for a reason. When online poker went away, I lost a nice source of income. I
don't know, Rich. I've played GM poker a couple times, and I've fleeced
you. Well, online is... Again, online is a totally different thing. And sure. It's a math-based game, and I would play 10 games at once, and it's just decision.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I wasn't making crazy money, but I was making $100-$200 a month regularly. I did not have losing months very often. I get the money to pay for my dog, Dewey.
Mm-hmm.
That was from a poker tournament.
Very nice,
you know?
Okay.
And, you know, golden doodles aren't cheap.
Sure, no.
I've paid for 2 vacations with my money that I won on vacation. At tournaments.
The moral of the story is introduce me to your online internet poker friends.
It was PokerStars. Exactly. But for me, that would be, I'd be all in. You know, I'd be psyched to be able to do that again. I think for me, it'd be more what's going on that day. Mm-hmm. You know, if it, you know, because I'm not one who does long term. Well, and is it futures or is it
duration to the bet? Well, you'd be able to do whatever you want, essentially. But you can bet live or bet halves or quarters, whatever the case is. But would you be a frequenter on a sports game?
Honestly, I probably wouldn't because I'm not a big gambler in terms of sports betting to begin with.
But if it was legalized, if that option was available to you,
I would have no
bookies are tough to come by. Yeah, I mean, you know?
And you know what I think would be fun too is like, you and a couple of buddies, you know, we get out of work on a Thursday and we say, hey, let's go watch the Thursday night game between X and X. You know, the opportunity to put $20 down on, you know, the Rams -8,
right.
You know, that might be fun. You know, I think that's where I would enjoy it is, you know, when just going out with some friends and, oh yeah, I'll throw $10 on, you know, the first half over or, you know, something like that. You know, I think that would be fun. I have nothing against it. If it brings money into the state, so be it. And I love talking about this stuff because I don't think it's that difficult to pick who's going to win Moneyline games.
You'd be surprised.
I know it's...
Do you realize that home teams against the spread this year
in
the
NFL ridiculous. It's like,
are like well below 500?
Yeah, it's like a lot. It's like 40 games below. It's something ridiculous. No, I know that. But I think... I'm pretty good at picking who's going to win the game, but when you throw a spread into the mix, that's hard. So,
you know,
but it's fun to talk about.
I gamble online. I have a local bookie that I use a website through.
Yeah,
and small stuff here and there. You know, I'm not going big time or anything like that. But I will tell you that was my exact thought process. Moneyline winners, I can pick that.
Yeah,
that's easy. Victim of parlays too, mind you. So that. I can't tell you how often I've lost money on the third team.
Yep.
On a parlay there, whether it's hitting the over or under or total, whatever, or just straight up winning a game.
Over unders are typically very difficult. But if I were gonna, like this weekend, my lock of the week would be the Patriots and Bills under.
Okay.
It's 38. Yeah. And I just don't see them reaching that number.
All right, yeah, I think that's good. Unless you could get a couple defensive scores in there, but offensively, I think that could happen.
Yeah, I see the Pats winning, but like 19-13 is the number I keep. I don't, and that's an odd score.
Okay,
but that's what keeps coming to my mind.
Well, they've been playing odd games recently. So last question for me. You recently interviewed Steve Cishek, Falmouth native, MLB player, current free agent, I believe.
Yes, sir.
About his upcoming wiffle ball tournament.
Yes.
What is your go-to out pitch in wiffle ball?
My 12-6 curveball.
Okay.
I come over the top, like probably like right over like the bean on your baseball hat.
Sure.
And you know, just kind of shut the window. You know, like pull it down, and you got to have a really good snap of the wrist as you come down, and it just kind of is like a. It's like a big parenthesis.
Mm-hmm. You know? Like an ethos pitch.
Almost, but it just kind of starts just at, you know, like head level, and it dives, and it usually finishes right at the ankles, and it's really hard not to swing at, and it's really tough to hit. But if you don't throw it the right way, it's going 400 feet.
Oh, yeah, sounds like Tim Wakefield knuckleball.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. But that would be mine. I don't even get to play anymore because I'm spending all day running the tournament.
Sure, yeah.
So, but it's, I tell you what, you get that many guys and girls. I mean, we have, you know, a handful of ladies who play. You get them out there in that competitive setting, and it is so fun to watch because these people go all out and they're killing themselves, you know, mm-hmm. diving all over that gymnasium, you know, for, you know, with a little trophy, you know, but it's fun. And that's,
well, you're playing for pride.
You're playing for pride. And you're, and but that's the thing. If you want something to do the weekend of, between Christmas and New Year's, that's mm-hmm. Saturday, I think it's only like $125
for a team,
for a team of five.
Yeah.
And so what's that, $25 a piece? And you get a t-shirt. So, you know, a t-shirt's going to run you $20-$25 a month.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, come on. Go to fybtournaments.com, I believe, and sign up. It's a lot of fun. You'll meet some, you know, Steve's going to be there. If you ever wanted to get Steve's autograph or shake his hand or whatever, Steve's there, and he's so nice to everybody, and he takes pictures and does the whole thing.
Definitely recommend him to the Post 188 crew.
Yeah.
You know, anyone from who's on the Post 188 team want to pick his brain about, you know, what it takes to get to the bigs.
Yeah. I mean, and again, that's a kid who was at 17 years old. Nobody thought Steve was going to the big leagues. And there's going to be all kinds of cool auctions. Peter Gammons usually makes an appearance, which, you know, to guys like you and me, that's kind of cool.
Sure,
you know,
is.
Peter's kind of like, you know, my hero. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I can't recommend it enough. So if you're looking for something to do that weekend, you know, get your boys, get your girls, whoever, you know, you play wiffle ball with, head down, and you'll have a great time. It is a lot of fun. I can't wait. It's so much fun.
Should be awesome. Thanks so much, Rich. This has been great.
It's been awesome.
Oh, hockey season left in front of us here.
So next one would be tournament preview, maybe?
It could be. Right. I like the sound of that.
All right.
Have a great
Christmas.
Great Christmas. Holiday. Hanukkah. Boxing Day.
But, you know, I said that on Twitter a couple weeks ago. Why don't we celebrate Boxing Day?
That's Canadian. Get out of here.
It's also UK. They do too. I don't really know what it is.
We're not a part of the UK either, Rich.
Yeah, but I'm just looking at it like this. We already get Christmas off. Now if we, you know, institute Boxing Day, now we get that extra day.
Yeah, but how many people actually go to work on the 26th?
I don't know. You and I have to this year. It's a Thursday.
We'll see about that. We have everything done. Done and in by Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll make an appearance. I have some layout stuff, but other than that, I should be done. Yeah. So we'll be
beautiful
good to
thing.
Go.
Beautiful thing. Awesome.
But yeah, Merry Christmas. God bless everyone. Have an awesome New Year's, and I'll talk to you in 2020.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds about right, actually. We'll see you then. Enjoy the rest of the year.